May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. There's a word in Scripture that I think is really foundational and significant. I spent some time with somebody not from Selma recently, and as I was spending time with them, what became obvious was that they were having a real struggle believing because it had a history of failure in particular areas, and it concluded that that's just what they're going to walk in. So their expectation was failure. And as we talked for a little while, what became obvious to me was what the enemy had stolen was their hope. The Scripture says that hope deferred makes the heart grow sick. Depression and despair and discouragement is the consequences of hope being lifted off of you. It's kind of like the floating device that keeps your soul from getting into heart sickness. And the problem is when you get into heart sickness is that then it's impossible to walk in faith, because the just live by faith. But hope and faith are really connected. Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the substance of things you're hoping for. Now, I know it's written grammatically like faith is the substance of things you hoped for. That's what it says. But that language, the word there, is actually present tense. Is that in a with a disposition of hope in your heart, faith is the substance of things you're hoping for. And if hope deferred makes the heart grow sick, I've never known somebody with a sick heart who's able to walk in faith in the midst of a crisis or a battle that they're in. Now, the lie of all that is that Romans 15:13 says God is a God of hope. And so if a person is walking in hopelessness, or they've lost hope, that's just evidence that they've listened to and come into agreement with the lies of the devil. Because our God is a God of hope. He's not in a bad mood. He lives with a, because he knows who he is. He knows the end. He knows the outcome. He knows what he's capable of. He knows that he's good, and he knows that he's more powerful than anything else in the world, and the devil's not a, like, it's not a fair fight. It's that Christians think it's some kind of, like, mutual contest. It's a slam dunk. Not fair fight. And so he's a God of hope. And if you're in Christ, hope should be your perpetual disposition. As a matter of fact, if the just live the Christian life by faith, and faith is the substance hoped for, then hope should be the thing we fight for more than anything else. Because what I've discovered is that if I'm living with holy optimism, if I'm living with an optimism that it says in Romans 12:12, rejoicing in hope. A person who's rejoicing all the time, that's just because that's what hope looks like. That's what hope sounds like. That's hope incarnational, rejoicing. Rejoice in the Lord always, he says. Again, I say rejoice. But without hope, it's no rejoicing. Rejoicing in hope. And in an attitude that's rejoicing in hope, with just an optimistic expectation that I don't know what's coming down the road, but whatever's coming down the road is not bigger than him. He's really good and he's really big. I don't have the details yet, but I just know that as a way of reality. So you just rejoice in that fact instead of living in anxiety or the expectation of failure or defeat. And when you walk in that, faith springs up. Then you're able to, in the moment, in the crisis, call those things which are not as though they were. Because the soil of faith is hope. And when you've been abiding in hope, rejoicing in hope, and then suddenly the battle comes or the crisis comes, then faith springs up and you're able to declare, to proclaim that which is not as though it were. Therefore, hope is so, so important. That's why I think that the enemy doesn't so much go after your faith, he goes after your hope. Because if he can rob you of hope, he knows you can't walk in faith. because you have a sick heart. Amen. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.